Amen. I've been given the subject, all hands on deck. Amen. Why, I've been thinking about that, all hands on deck. Amen. Well, amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's get some word in here, man. Let's try to work with this thing a little bit this morning. I told Dr. Ted Powell, I'm just an opening act for him. Amen. Just going to get everything ready for him. Amen. I've been around him long enough. I already know what he's going to preach. Amen. But I think this can kind of go a little line and get you ready, brother. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read 10 verses, starting verse number 14. The Bible said, "For the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body?" That's a good question, ain't it? "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh." Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to stand behind this sacred pulpit here at the Crossroads Baptist Church. You know the thoughts that you laid on my heart, but God, regardless of all that, God, I need you to be able to give at this time to the people what God you want to bring forth. God, I ask you to forgive me of anything that could hinder God from working and doing a work this day. Father, use me at this time. But I pray that Jesus Christ will get all the honor and all the glory he so richly deserves. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All hands on deck. You know, I think about as Dr. Siebel kicked us off Sunday night and he was talking about the ship, the storm on the sea, Euroclydon. And he was talking about the fierce wind. And as he was talking about the wind that came on the boat, I can imagine the captain of that ship probably cried out and said, "All hands on deck." Meaning that we need everyone. We need everybody to get involved. When I think of all hands on deck, I think of teamwork. I think a team. And no doubt there are times in the Bible that we see this being illustrated so well. As we know in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, let Moses basically know, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "All hands need to be on deck, Moses. Moses, you cannot do this task alone." I think about there in Exodus 17, when the children of Israel were fighting up against Amalek, and Moses' hand began to tire. And the Bible tells us basically that Aaron and Hur understood that all hands needed to be on deck, amen? And because all hands were on deck, they were able to get the victory. We know here in Acts chapter 6, when God established the church and the apostles there in Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, they understood the importance of all hands needing to be on deck. And they understood that they can't just serve table. They have to also minister the word of God. They needed all hands on deck. You know, I've learned in my 16 years of pastoring that you cannot be successful without all hands on deck. You can't do it by yourself. You can't accomplish the task by yourself. And you know, and I think about that as we talk about all hands on deck. You know what I've found out in the years I've pastored is that sometimes, you know, we need more people. Of course, as we get more people, the more we can do. But I found out that hadn't always been the problem. The problem has been is that we have people, but we don't have all hands on deck. Amen. That's what I find a lot of times. I need all hands on deck when it comes to tithing. Amen. Well, I need all hands on deck when it comes to missions. I need all hands on deck when it comes to soul winning. Amen. The problem a lot of times, you got too many people sitting in the stands. Amen. And not involved in the game. All hands on deck. But you know, the reality and the honest truth is that, as I said earlier, all hands are not on deck. You know, I think about this movement of COBRA. How God have put together a team. Amen. And, boy, you can look out right now at this congregation. Well, we got enough folks here that we can do a whole lot of things to evangelize Black America if all hands were on deck. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And one thing that is very evident in the scripture that God is a team player. That God believes in the team concept. And we know here in this passage of scripture that God uses the anatomy of the human body. And no doubt, what a great example, because there's nothing in the world that shows teamwork than the human body and how it functions. And so God uses the body to show an example of how he wants the church to be, the local New Testament church. And God, no doubt, make it very clear that if it's going to be successful, it has to work as a team. So what we need to understand is, I believe this, God believes in the team concept. Now, we say God have put together this movement. Amen. We say God have authenticated. As a matter of fact, some of you, I was here when God showed us that night. I tell you, it was something to behold. And I just believe this, as God have put this movement together called COBRA, I just believe God wants us to operate it just like a team. And I understand that we have our local churches here, and I understand the independence of a local church. We're not trying to say how y'all operate your ministry. But we're talking about a collective effort of coming together, of trying to evangelize Black America and get them involved in the ministry of God that will reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to talk to you a little honest this morning. Now I'm going to tell you something. Now, I've been in this thing now almost 30 years. I got saved in 1984 there at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. And I'm here to tell you, I've been in long enough to understand that this job that we have in trying to reach Black America is an astronomical, give me a word, Kenny. So, enormous, amen, enormous, amen. It really is. And I'm here to tell you, let me give you an example. There in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And I'm not trying to brag. There's a difference in bragging and telling the truth. Amen. Let me tell you the truth. There's a ministry, a fundamental independent Baptist ministry, started out in Pine Bluff, Arkansas back in 1974. They've been almost 40 years. 40 years trying to do it by themselves. And I think the report I got of, and I've seen them on eyes, they have basically they have gone back to basically meet in the gas station. They at one time had a building. Now you've gone from a building back into the gas station. But my point I'm trying to say, after 40 years of trying to do it by themselves, they have basically gotten nowhere. In 16 years, and I'm not bragging, we have done more in 16 years in reaching black people in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and bringing them and introducing them to fundamentalism than all the 30-something years they've been there. Not only that, but we have done more in 16 years, and I'm not saying this to be ugly, but we've done more in 16 years in reaching our people for fundamentalism than all the white fundamental churches in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, together over the 40-some years they've been there. Because of this thing called COVID. See, COVID have helped us. And some of you need to be honest. COVID have helped all of us. Come on. Y'all, some of y'all been in this thing like me. You know we ain't never seen nothing like this. Man, you know, I was telling Pastor, we were talking when the ladies had the conference. And man, you know, Pastor always, he's such a visionary. Always taking on, as Mike said, lunging in the deep. And, you know, but I was telling Pastor, but you know, I'm still grateful for what we have already done. I mean, you know, 20-some years ago, there was no place we could stop in Memphis, Tennessee. There was no Christian school that I could take my kids to in Jacksonville, Arkansas. Boy, the things that we have done for black America, praise the Lord, amen. Well, I hadn't even gotten my points. I've learned this. I'm just going to give you my 3 points. I'm not going to give you my 3 sub-points to my point, amen. I'm just going to give you my points, amen. That's the only way we can get through this, amen. But the truth of the matter is, not all hands on deck. Let's be honest. If all hands on deck right here, we'll do more. All hands are not on deck. And I want to talk about this morning for a few minutes why all hands are not on deck. And I think 1 Corinthians 12 helps us understand this a little bit. Let's look at this first thing. All hands can be on deck when people understand this word called position. Let's look here at verse number 14. Let's start there. Bible said, for the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, as it is therefore not the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smell? Let's stop there for a second. The reason why a lot of times all hands are not on deck, and I know this from experience, is because people have a problem with understanding this thing called position. See, I'm going to use a little bit of football because my father was a football coach. I was born with a football in my hand, amen? I mean, I grew up in football. My father coached for 40-some years, so I know a little bit about the game. I remember many times at the beginning of the season, the most important thing to my father was, as they were getting prepared, getting ready for the season, they had this board. And on this board was a positional board. And there they had all the guys who were playing football had their name on a little round tag. And what they would do based on the talent level, based on evaluating, they would put those players in position. And they put them in position. The best that they where they will better serve the team. Guys work the same way. We know pastors, we know the importance of that. You as a pastor, a lot of times you evaluate what God has given you. A lot of times you place people in position. And you place them there for a reason. We'll talk about that in my next point. But what I want to say about this is, now notice in verse 15 and 16, and I love this because it presents a problem here. And the problem it presents basically is that the foot don't want to be the foot. Amen. The ear don't want to be the ear. Let me tell you, hey, that's always a problem. Amen? And basically, verse 17 is letting us know, you know, a team cannot be made of one position. Everybody can't be the quarterback. Amen? Amen? Hey, somebody got to block. Somebody got to play defense. Somebody got to catch the ball. Amen? Somebody got to run. Amen? You know, and I can't help but think that Cobra is kind of the same way, man. Amen. That God puts together a team. And on the team, everybody can't be in charge. See, I know I'm gonna probably get in trouble, Ken. I need my foot to be a foot. I don't need my foot to sign they want to be the ear, amen. I don't need my foot on the ground out there. I'm trying to lift it. Amen. I don't need my hands trying to be the foot. Amen. You see, but now look here at verse 18. Let me get to verse 18 because this will help a little bit. We better get God in this thing. Now the Bible says in verse 18, but now God, and Dr. Sis said it best, but now God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. See, I think of God like that coach, that head coach. And he knows our talents. He knows individuals. And God knows where to put us at. Amen. But now, we as pastors, we understand this. And we believe in the authority of the church. We believe as God established the church, that God puts a pastor there. And from that pastor, everything else is brought about. Amen? We with that. We understand that. Hey, as God put together this movement called COBRA, this team, somebody has to be in charge. You hear what I'm saying? Everybody can't be in charge. Now, we say God have authenticated, and by the way, I said it last, let me say it again. You can't duplicate what God has authenticated. Amen? Amen. Amen. God have put together a team. And thank God for the team. And God puts together a leadership, a part of that team. Amen. And God gives wisdom and insight to that leadership and what we need to do to get the job done. Amen. What that means is that as God puts together the team, we need team prayers. Amen. And hey, we need to find out, hey, listen to me. It's not that we come and be a part of the team and do what we want to do. Hey, we find out what we can do. Where we can be best used in. Amen? I don't know if everybody's with me, Ken, on this. I don't keep hold on because we actually trying to go somewhere with this thing. The problem a lot of times the reason we don't have all hands is because we got people all messed up. And that's, you know, we use messed up in Arkansas. All messed up about this thing called position. Amen. Man, bless God. Hey, look. I know God. Look, wherever we can be used, where can we be used at? Well, we need you to be the fingernail. Ain't what I'm talking. I ain't talking about no fingernail. I was thinking more of this like the brain or something. Hey, we ain't talking about no fingernail. No, that ain't what I'm. I mean, you know, you don't know who I am, man. We might not know here, but God knows. Amen. And God knows where you can best serve in. Amen. Hey, the attitude, whatever. Where you want? I want to be a part of the team. God is doing something. He's trying to reach Black America. We're trying to get church. But what can, hey, where can I be used at? You tell me where I can be used. Amen. Boy, let's get to the second point. If I don't get to the second point, we ain't going to get out of here. And I've learned over years, this is not my pulpit. Amen. Now, home, I can break it down to preaching series. So, we're gonna hear him get out of here. Pat. But look here, not only that, but we see here, of course, verse 19, they were all one member, were the body, but now are they many members yet, but one body. In other words, the team has to have many positions. If it's going to be effective, if it's going to do, it has to. But now another thing we need to understand, not only we need to have a proper understanding of the position, but we also need to have a proper understanding of this word called purpose. He said, what do you mean? Hey, and we need to understand something. Every position has a purpose. There's a reason why, and you know, pastors, you know this. There's a reason why you put people in the position that you put them in. Amen? Amen? You know, I'll never forget my father. One of the things, you know, when he became the head coach, and he was a defensive coach, a coordinator all for years. He knows defense. He understands defense. Well, when he became the head coach, he gave that position over to another coach. And to this day, he said, the guy just wasn't a good defensive coordinator. And one of the things my father said was the biggest problem was he had guys out of position. And I never forget when Dad was telling me he had to take that spot back over and take over the defense. And he had to get guys in position. He had guys playing nose guard when they were defensive backs. You know, had guys who were receivers playing on the defensive line. You know, they was out of position. What I'm saying is there's a reason why God put us in the position. And you got to understand in this COBRA movement, if we're going to be a team, you got to understand is you may be asked to be in a certain position, but there's a reason why you're in that position. Now watch this. As you're in that position, guess what? You need to perform in that position. Amen. Now, you know, let's be honest about it. I want to make this clear. Now, you pastors, you know, you can't put just anybody anywhere. You gotta have folks faithful. You know, people dependable. You know, as Mike had it on all the time about dependable service, you gotta have that. I mean, even I share with you in Acts, chapter 6, but those apostles didn't just pick anybody. Amen. Moses, when he delegated responsibility, he didn't just delegate responsibility to anybody. Amen. So you have to be careful who you put in there, but nevertheless, you put people in position for a purpose. Now look what it says right here in verse 21 and verse 22 right quick. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Boy, I love that. Talking about teamwork. Talking about a team. All hands on deck. Hey, what it's saying is, hey, we all need each other. Amen. And what we need everybody doing their part. Amen. Amen. Now let me give you an example. Kenny shared this Sunday morning. He was talking about how that, you know, when we watching the football game, everybody hooping and doing all that stuff, you know, shouting. And then all of a sudden when the preacher preached, you know, Kenny said, well, somebody, you know, said somebody scoring a touchdown. They run down the sideline talking about go, 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 go. You know, and talk about, man, won't somebody do that? And young Don got up and ran down with him. Y'all remember that? Some of it was here. You know, I got thinking about it, Ken. And I'm going to use illustration because, you know, like I said, Paul used sports too, amen. You know, we know Kenny. Ken is our superstar. He's the quarterback, amen. Ken don't like me doing it, but it's just the truth, amen. And every team, God always have a game changer, amen. You know, Ken is that superstar. He's the quarterback, amen. He gets the hike and go back. Now I'm blocking. You know, I'm blocking for him, amen. I'm blocking for him, trying to deal. And all of a sudden, a defensive man come in, and all of a sudden, Kenny, with his talent, he do a spin 360 move, amen. And all of a sudden, he do a little fake jack and gun. And all of a sudden, he break loose and going down the sideline. And I see him, so I go running with him, amen. And I'm going with him. And all of a sudden, this defensive back comes up, coming on at an angle. And all of a sudden, Kenny look at me, and he points to him, amen. Because Kenny, hey, because Kenny want me to wipe him out, amen. Now, hey. Hey, that ain't gonna make no sense. I said, I ain't blocking, man. Man, give me the ball. I want to score. I ain't blocking for you, man. That ain't teamwork, is it? Teamwork is when, man, I'm going to lay him out, amen. And Kenny walks in the end zone with his hands up and do the little dance. And I come do the dance. He jump up, I catch him, you know. Hey, that's teamwork, amen. Hey, whatever I got to do at this position that I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to do my job, amen. If it's to block, I'm going to block, amen. If it's to clean the building, I'm going to clean, amen. If it's to work in the nursery, I'm going to work in the nursery. Wherever God woman, that's what I'm going to do, amen. Hit this last point. I got about 3 minutes. Let's get out of here. Hit this last point right quick. Verse 20. Boy, verse 22. Nay, much more of those men on the body would seem to be more feeble than necessary, amen. Kind of what I use about those guys on the line. You know, the offensive line don't get no credit. Nobody ever talk about the offensive line, amen. That's what the next point basically talking about. When it said those members of the body in verse 23, verse 24, which we think less honorable, those parts of comeliness is basically the attractive, those parts, you know, I put this in my note. Let me say this. And then look at verse 24. Our comely parts have no need. God had tempted the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacking. Let me say something. I put this in my notes, and let me share this with you here. You know, I want to talk about this last point. We need to properly understand that this thing about position, thing about purpose. We also need to understand this word called prestige. Every position in God's work is precious. It's prestigious. So many people miss this. The problem with a lot of people is that they think because they're not on the Hollywood stage that they're nobody. Many people quit on God because they're not in the limelight. See, a lot of folks think COBRA is about the limelight. No, COBRA goes beyond this time. There's so many things that can be done through COBRA. There's so many things with COBRA behind the scene. You know, I put here in my notes, I said if I had two pills, and one of the pills would make my hair beautiful to the day I die, and another pill would cause my white blood cells to be healthy to the day I die, what pill will I take? Amen? I'm going to take that pill for white blood cells. Amen? Because if my white blood cells are not functioning, it don't matter how pretty my hair is, amen? Amen. Hey, no matter how beautiful your face is, if your stomach go to hurting, you're going to be. Amen. Amen. Hey. It's all prestigious in God's eyes. All of it is important to God. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. You ask the quarterback, who is more important, that running back or that offensive line? The ones that never get any credit. Names are never called. I think about the little old lady that prays faithfully. Amen. For the pastor, for the ministry. I tell you what, when she gets to heaven, there's going to be more glory in those prayers. Amen. We got to understand everybody cannot be on the stage. But it don't mean you're not important. Amen. Oh, let me say something. I'm going to close. I think we're at a very pivotal moment, honestly, in our ministry. Man, God has been good to us here at COBRA. Boy, I tell you what, we all, you know, it's our moment. We're playing the game now. Hey, you know, we're pioneers. We may not reach the plateau. That's why I don't know about you. I get so excited for Kenny. And I get so excited for the generation behind them. I mean, I really do. And my children and my grandchildren, my great-grand, if the Lord should tarry. That's why we got to do our part right now. Amen. Don't worry, but you know, sometimes we get all caught up in numbers and my ministry. Because you know what the problem is? We're too busy looking at somebody else. Instead of appreciating what God had given us. Let me tell you something. I love those folks in Pine Bluff. Man, they my heart. I ain't worried about that. Let me tell you something. I have no doubt. If we do our part and do what's right, Pine Bluff is going to be all right. I don't talk about right now. I talk about 100 years from now, the Lord should tarry. 200 years from now. The impact. Because, man, we just got something started. Doing our part. Doing our part. That's all we can do. Do our part. Father, we thank you.